Comedy live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's just like Laffy Taffy, but with less laughs. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast here. Voicemail edition for week number two. Episode number three. I had been saying it was episode two all week long, but apparently, according to Dalton Ross and Gordon Holmes, who have said on Twitter, they have planted the flag. This is episode number three. Somehow, last week's episode, which was called Reverse the Curse, was actually two episodes. And not Reverse the Curse Part 1 and Part 2, like Best of Both Worlds Part 1 and Part 2. No, it was just called Reverse the Curse, but somehow that's two episodes. So here we are. Episode number three of Survivor Ghost Island. And I'm very excited to have a wonderful guest with us here in the studio. We had Zeke in the studio here on Thursday. And now over the weekend, we have a great guest from Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. Back with me in the studio is the great Simone Wynn.
Hi, Rob. I'm always so happy to be here.
Yes. So second time here.
Yes.
You were here with us last month on the Love Know-It-Alls when we talked with you, my colleague, Stephen Fishback, and of course, your great fiance, Steve.
Yeah, Steve is here again, too. I'm super excited that he's here. Though he is not planning to be on the air this
He's
time.
Here in the peanut gallery today. Mm. And then also, we've got a full house here today. Nicole is downstairs. I got the babysitter. My mother-in-law is here. That we've got somebody who's here. Tommy is here filming stuff behind the scenes. So it's a full house here.
Yeah.
Cast of thousands on Rob's podcast today.
Yeah, it's lively.
Lively. And so is Survivor Ghost Island, because we got a lot of questions from the listeners here on our feedback show.
No, can I say that I love this season so far?
So far, so good.
It is a great season so far. And, when we were filming, I thought, like, oh, my God, like, this is the best looking cast that has ever been around. Like, oh, my God, like, look at Desi, look at Allie, look at every single girl here, look at every single guy here. But I'm watching Survivor Ghost Island right now, and, like, I cheer every time Brendan or James takes off his shirt. It is amazing.
Yeah. Okay. So there's hot guys on this season.
Yes. Girls are pretty too.
Yes. Are you saying that Survivor 35 did not have a lot of hot guys?
We had Devin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and no, I'm sorry. I'm not going to say that the guys aren't hot. Like, I support every single one of them. And I also think that every single one of them, like, has a person out there that's for them, whether or not they've found them.
Okay. All right. But this is not Love Know-It-Alls. So we don't need to go too far down that rabbit hole. But Simone, how's everything going for you after Survivor?
Everything's going great. I mean, just living in Burbank, adjusting to life out on the West Coast. Like, yesterday I saw A Wrinkle in Time, which was a little disappointing, but I think all in all, more good movies will come out this year, and hopefully I will see at least a few of them.
Okay, so you're going to plant your flag that there will be more good movies in 2018.
Look, I saw Black Panther, and, like, that is enough for this year, but I'm hoping it's not the only.
Black Panther was so good.
It was so good.
It doesn't need to be any more good movies in this year, but there probably will be.
I hope that it is, like, the, you know, it is the turning point for movies from here on out.
Okay,
but
from
let's
here
talk
on
about
out,
Survivor.
Pre-Black Panther, post-Black Panther, we'll look at the movie industry.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So, Simone, before we get to everything, that I one thing that I've never talked with you about, I don't believe, is how you ended up getting on Survivor, that you had one of the best Survivor audition tapes that I've ever seen. I don't think a lot of people know about this. Yeah. Can you describe what you did in your Survivor audition tape? Because I feel like it is unique to Survivors.
Okay, so, you know, without going too much into it, I'm a person who, whenever I stress out, and I was, like, stressed out for many reasons in November 2016, so I binged watched Survivor, like, all in one season. It was a show that I used to, like, make fun of my fiancé for, like, liking so much, and he basically was just like, oh, you know what, like, you would be great on this show, but you know who would be even better is your sister, Tam, who's, like, going through a divorce and, like, needs, like, this change in her life and, like, needs to, like, do what Survivor does, which is, like, rip you out of your comfort zone.
Who said
zone.
That? Steve said that?
Steve said that. Okay. And I think what she... So she, I was just like, Tam, you got to audition for Survivor. Like, it's going to be the be all end all. It's going to change your life. It's going to be amazing. Like, you're going to go out there and you're going to win. And then she was like, okay, like, yeah, let's do that. And also, like, let's make an audition tape so we can show up on the Ellen show. And I just got so mad at her. I was just like, no, sir, Survivor is not the same as the Ellen DeGeneres show. Like, I love that bitch. But seriously, like, let's talk about, like, going on Survivor. And because I was angry at her, I was like, fine, like, let me just, like, apply for myself. And I can't, like, I can't bring it out on command, but, like, I do have a fiancé with, like, an iPhone. And I think he just, like, he caught me in the middle of one of my rants. So I used to be a waitress, and I love to be nice to people. I think that is something that I aspire to in life. It's not the easiest for me to be nice to people, but I really, really try to do that because I think that that's the right thing to do. And there was this waitress that had came by my table and was just like, oh, like, you ordered this. And I was just like, no, I'm so sorry. I didn't order this. Like, I'm sure she was like, no, you ordered this. You ordered the I Love Tuna. And I was just like, you know what? I don't even like tuna, but I can't be mad at you. Like, I cannot yell at you. Like, you're like an older lady, like you're a person who, like, you know, you're like serving me, and like there's this weird power dynamic, and obviously I can't yell at you, but I am so angry at you. You are disrespecting me so hard right now, and I don't even understand it, because I would never order the I Love Tuna. I don't even like tuna. And you know, yes. I obviously, like, I wasn't gonna yell at this woman in a restaurant. Yes. But like I started, like, I got out of the restaurant, like, I resentfully, like, ate the sushi roll that she put in front of me. Like, I couldn't even taste the food. Steve told me afterwards it was amazing, but I had blacked out, so I don't even remember the way that mm-hmm. it tastes. But we left the restaurant, and I was just like, how dare she? And then he started recording me, and it was, like, through that rant, I guess, that he had captured, like the 3 minutes, like, of the it factor that Survivor wants.
Survivor was hoping that you would get, it would be you versus the tuna lady at some point.
Look, like, I'm so sorry that I disappointed them. And
that's why they put you with Lauren Rimmer. They figured that she would come back with the wrong tuna one day.
She never came back with a single fish the entire time that we were on Hustler's Beach. But had she done that, yeah, like, maybe she would have awoken the inner dragon.
Maybe the dragon. Yeah. I just thought that that's interesting that I haven't seen anybody else's video, which is basically, like, sort of like a slice of life where they're like, hey, I'm this person.
They're just like, and, oh, yeah, like, I've done everything that I've ever wanted to do in my life.
Your video is just you, like, on a rant about a somebody that you just encountered.
Look, like, I wasn't mean to her. Like, I think people are forgetting the part where, like, I didn't yell at this woman to her face mm-hmm. because I knew in my heart of hearts that it would be wrong to yell at a waitress. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been a waitress. I've been there. Yeah. I know how hard it is.
So I just thought that would be insightful to people that are trying to think about what should I do in my video, that you have had a different approach that was successful.
Look, like, a lot of people, they don't. Like, they get in front of a camera and they don't know how to articulate themselves anymore. They get, like, obsessed with their image. They, like, they go all fishback and they worry about, like, every single word placement and every single, like, verbal comma. But for me, like, it's just a matter of, like, trying to be as real as you possibly can be. And I think that you just need to get yourself so frenzied, whether it's, like, in anger, in joy, in competition, that the camera is secondary. And I would encourage anybody who, you know, wants to apply for Survivor, like, I will gladly offer you feedback. Like, I love to criticize people. You probably shouldn't open the door to that unless you're ready for it. But, like, I love the Survivor audition experience. It's fun.
Yes. Why? What was so fun about it?
Because you go and you get to talk shit about people to casting. And that's like,
you like that. There's a lot of, like, so what do you think of this person? What do you think of that guy with the short haircut?
And for me, like, I aspire to be a positive person in my life. But mm-hmm. if, like, you give me an avenue in which to vent, like, okay, I will vent.
So maybe we'll explore that today.
I don't know. I hope so. Like, I hope that I have a response to your voicemails, but if I don't, I won't fake it.
Okay. All right. We're asking for honesty mm-hmm. and we don't want you to fake anything here.
Got it.
Okay. All right. So let's bring in our first voicemail. This comes from a caller named Jeremiah, and
Jeremiah
has some information about Morgan that he wants you to weigh in on.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Rob and Simone. Jeremiah calling in. In First One Out, Probst said that Morgan was almost cast for Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. He goes on to say that she most likely would have been considered to be a hustler. So my question goes to Simone. How well would she have worked with Morgan had they ended up on the same tribe? Thanks for taking my call, and all the best.
Okay. Now, did you know this?
So I didn't know this because Morgan wasn't in my casting week. And I wonder who she would have replaced, because I think what Jeremiah is asking is like how well I would have worked with Morgan. Like, I only ever saw a snippet of, you know, her personality on TV. But, you know, I would like to think that given like her saltiness when she was voted out, that she and I would get along very well.
Yes.
We would just be like, okay, like, let's go talk a little bit of something about Ryan. Like, let's go talk about Devin, because I don't know if you know this, but one of the things that casting frequently asks girls is like, oh, like, if you had to date somebody, would you date somebody more like a JP or a Ryan? And then
from past seasons. Yeah.
And I can just like imagine myself having that conversation with Morgan.
Yeah.
I think you would be surprised at how many people say no one. Because, you know, like in my mind, like that wouldn't have even been an option. And I think that one of the things that you talk about so much on the island is like, oh, like who's the type of person that you like to date? Like, mm-hmm. like what type of dates do you like to go on? Like, who's your type, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, obviously, like that's a little tough because on my tribe, like Ryan had never dated anybody. Devin only had one girlfriend before. Allie had only had one boyfriend before. And then I would consider myself like a fairly nerdy person, but I kept thinking like, oh my God, like I am so wild compared to these people.
Even wilder than Patrick Bolton?
You know, I still don't know with Patrick, because like sometimes I think about his dating life and I'm just like, oh my God, like, you know, poor Patrick, like he really like deserves like love, and he like deserves to find somebody who appreciates him. And other times, like he'll wake me up in the middle of the night and I'll be like, why Patrick? Like, why hasn't anybody murdered you?
Yeah,
but like much love to Patrick out there, because I think that he's great. It was actually just his birthday and Lauren's birthday, because they share the same birthday, and I think possibly even Devin's birthday on March 6th.
Wait, so, it was half the tribe's birthday on March 6th?
Yes, but you don't know this.
Today's Josh Wiggler's birthday.
Happy birthday, Josh. We are so happy to have someone like you. Like, we love your preseason stuff. Like, keep it going.
Yes, keep it going.
Yeah, so Lauren and Patrick have the same birthday, and Devin had the same birthday, but he lied about his birthday being on another day. So that one day that Joe was like, oh, like, I'm going to let Devin eat the spaghetti first because it's his birthday. It's not his birthday.
Oh, wow.
Like, I don't know why they didn't mention that. I mean, I think I read that via one of like Ashley's tweets or something like that. And I was just like, yes, Devin, you genius.
Yeah, that's another one of those things that he had so much game and nobody knew.
I know. But, you know, you never know.
Okay. So you feel like you would have gotten along well with Morgan.
I would have gotten
we
along
don't know
well
who
with
she
the
would
salty
have
side of Morgan.
Replaced. Yes, because she's in the ocean so much.
Yeah, I think. But you never know. Like, maybe she doesn't like me, because I feel like she was so attracted to like the cute blonde Libby type. And that's just not me. Like, mm-hmm. I try really hard to be positive, but I can't say that it comes supernatural.
Yes.
And I try to be like really sweet to people, but I don't know if like it's just Libby or if it's just like what we're shown of Libby. But like it doesn't seem like that girl knows how to frown.
Yeah. Do you think she has a forced smile too much, Libby?
No, I think that like she's just one of these girls who like lives a charmed life, and like all throughout her life, like people have like given her the benefit of the doubt, mm-hmm. and been kind to her. And so like she lives in this like attractive people bubble.
Yes.
Where she hasn't had to she hasn't been taken a task on everything that she needs to have responsibility for, which is why I think when Jeff asked her like, oh, like Libby, can you lie? She was just like, yes, I can lie. I don't know why anybody like doesn't like think of me as a liar. Like, I could do it. I could do it, because she's never had to face like the consequence of that kind of action in her life, or mm-hmm. maybe any action.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Was that mean?
No, I don't think so.
No, I think that she's fine. She's like playing a good game.
Okay. All right. We'll talk more about Libby. Let me ask you a little bit more about Morgan. This is an email from Mark. He says, my question for Simone, what are the pros and cons of voting off Morgan? On paper, it's a 4-4 division now that she's gone, but it's clearly it's not. What do you think of its impact with Chris and Dominic being in the same tribe together? I have great hope that my questions get answered by the hustling Miss Simone. Thank you so much. From Mark. Okay.
Hey, Mark.
Talk to me about the vote off. Did you agree that they should have voted off Morgan for the four Malolo people?
Yes. All credit to James Lim, Asian American representative. So fine, so fierce.
What a bounce back week.
I know. I think he's just the greatest. Like, I have his, like, permission from my fiance to date him if, like, God forbid everything.
Is that true?
Anything ever happened to Steve.
Is that true?
That's me knocking on wood.
Yeah, if he dies. Okay, so Steve's giving him the thumbs up.
Sorry, James. Didn't mean to put you on the spot out there. But I...
His living... Was it Steve's living will is that...
Oh, he's going to try to kill me.
Yes.
Oh, my God. No. No, hon. No.
He might try to kill Steve.
His heart is too pure. He's too Korean-American. He works too hard. He can't do that.
Yes. Yes.
And so, all credit to James out here, because I think he obviously, like, put on his risk management hat, right? He was just like, all right, let's quickly analyze the situation. Like, either Dominic is lying to us or he's not lying to us. And in the case that he is lying to us, like, we're in trouble because we're all going to vote together like this. But in the case that he's not, like, we can actually derive an additional benefit by taking this other action, because so many people are presented like, this is A, this is B. Like, let's choose these two avenues without thinking like, oh yeah, like, there is a plethora of people that we can choose from. So by preserving, like, the division between Dominic and Chris, they are up against, like, a four Niviti tribe that is not as strong as, like, the four Malolo tribe that hasn't actually had to vote against each other. Mm-hmm. And that being said, like, let's talk less about the strategy. Like, what was Mark's question again? Could you rephrase?
Was it the right idea to vote out Morgan? Should they have gone with a different person for those four Malolo players to vote for?
Well, I think for James, this is the better move, because clearly there was enough of a kinship between Libby and Morgan for Libby to completely, like, pull one over on her. Mm-hmm. So, like, say Libby had decided, like, you know what, actually, there's going to come a time when I'm not going to want to be with James over Morgan anymore. So James ultimately eliminates that risk for him.
Yeah.
So...
Well, why are we saying only James? Why not Laurel? Where's that? How come this that we give all the ownership to James?
Well, I think for James to say, like, oh, Russell is, this is like Dominic is Russell 2.0. Like, I think that's a really good observation. I wish that I had seen more of Laurel and Donathan in this episode. I think that they had, like, a quieter episode, especially, like, given, like, Donathan's prominence in the first episode. We could, like, I didn't get enough of Donathan. I love Donathan. I wish that he would
be. I believe it's pronounced Promathince.
But he's really, like, such a joy and such, like, a delight to watch on screen that I wish that he had been able to orchestrate this more. But I think this is one of the decisions that's, like, all head and less heart. And that's why, like, I think it's, like, a James-led vote. I could see Laurel coming up with this, but Laurel, I think, is somebody who's been less in the spot because, like, she didn't have to, like, almost drown in that challenge. So she's never going to be as put on the spot. So I think when you're on the bottom like that, that's when it's time for you to really shine. And I think a lot of other people, they would have rescinded into themselves and been like, all right, like, let me just, like, go with the easy side. Like, let's do the easy vote off. Like, let's just do Angela. Because, like, that's the option that's being presented in front of us. But it takes, I think, a little bit of decision fatigue. I think that, Zeke was talking about that a little bit. It takes brain power to say, like, no, like, this isn't every option that's out there. And then people get worse at analyzing as time goes on, as they're more starved. So I'm really glad that, like, this episode shaped out the way that it did. It was such a shock. It was such a surprise. And if I think about the other people that Malolo could have voted off, there's Angela, Wendell,
Dominic, yeah.
And then Chris is out there on Ghost Island. So I think... Wendell is so chill. Like, I think, like, when you have that kind of calming presence out there in, like, the sea of people who are cast on reality television because they are, like, out there or intense or some kind of, like, extreme in some way, like, you want to preserve that measure of calm in your life. So even if you don't trust Wendell, like, it's going to be easier to be around him than somebody who's, like, Morgan, who seems to have, like, a little bit more personality. And to me, like, Dolphin Trainer is like a little bit more interesting than Furniture Person, like, mm-hmm. and like vote out the more interesting person, because you know, after she talks about like dolphin training, like, let's connect over this thing, like, you don't know what other connections she could be making, like, there's a danger to that.
So I've never heard this before. So if somebody has an interesting job, you should vote them out because they'll have more stories. Is that how Dr. Mike got so far in Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers?
Look, I would have loved he was to on see the universe block. Where Joe Dr. Mike won. Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Look, Joe wanted to vote him out day one, and then once Dr. Mike goes into, hey, did I ever tell you guys about the time? They're like, we gotta keep this guy as the best stories.
No, he does. Like, I swear to God, like, if you let somebody like Dr. Mike into your heart, he will never leave. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the danger of Dr. Mike.
Yes, yes.
Like, just ask Barry.
Yes, okay. Let me ask you this question. This is from Syrup Guy, who wants to know, what did Simone Syrup think Guy? About the swap from two tribes to two new tribes? I thought I was going to like it better, but we felt like that when we go to three tribes, we get to see more people playing a bigger role in the three-person tribe. Did you like how they switched from two to two?
I mean, I did. I think the point has been made before that when you start off with the three-tribe system, like, the so much of the gameplay after the swap is based upon, like, oh, how do we get rid of the people from the three tribe? But that being said, going from two to three, like, in like they did in Millennials versus Gen X, I thought that you got to feature way more people, mm-hmm. and then you got to see, like, the individual relationships a lot more. I would have liked two to three, but two to two, I think, preserves some of the original personality of the Malolo narrative that we were seeing, at least, like, with respect to James. Again, great episode for James. I wish I had seen more Donathan, and I wish I had seen more Laurel. But Libby, who Josh highlighted as, like, the stone-cold killer, like, mm-hmm. I finally got to see her come out a little bit more in the system. And, like, having that Malolo versus Naviti split, like nobody ever preserves the original tribe system. So, like, the faster the original groupings can be deteriorated, the better. Because the sooner that people start, you know, working together, regardless of their original tribe affiliation, the more you get to see, like, the interpersonal dynamics as they play out, like, as a social experiment, as Survivor is supposed to be.
Do you feel like that things would have been different for you if you played in a season with two tribes instead of starting in a season with three tribes?
Well, you can't hide in a three-tribe system when it's only six people. And I'm a person who needs to hide. Mm-hmm. Like, I am, like, a negative personality. Like, I am a complainer. Like, I like to work hard, but I have very little, like, survival expertise. So somebody like me really needs to hide. And who knows? Like, if I had been put on a two-tribe system, maybe, like, I would have been the weakest link. I can never really know, but I'll admit it. Like, I'm not good at Survivor. Like, mm-hmm. that's why I got voted out second. I'm really sorry. But that being said, like, let me give a shout-out to Jacob, who, like, pound for pound was the most entertaining second boot that I've ever seen.
Ever?
On a
More
season.
Than Billy Garcia?
No, that was the other person that I was going to say.
More
but
than Vince Sly?
Who?
Vince Sly, Worlds Apart.
Who?
Yeah, coconut vendor.
Sorry,
Vince Sly.
Sorry, but hashtag bring back Billy Garcia.
Okay, wow, okay, all right, so Simone's putting it out there. All right, before we get to our next question, let me take a moment and thank
hashtag
one of our...
bring back Jacob Derwin.
Bring back Jacob Derwin and Billy Garcia?
Same.
Okay, same season, okay. Let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors for today's podcast. We've got a great sponsor here. Audible. I love Audible.
I
I'm
love
a big
Audible.
Audiobook fan. I think there's a lot of great audiobooks that are out there. Look, we all love podcasts. We listen to a lot of podcasts, but I think that there is a little bit of a differentiation in my mind between podcasts and audiobooks, mm-hmm. where my podcasts are like my junk food, whereas my audiobooks are like sustenance. That's where I really feel like I'm bettering myself. I read a lot or listen to a lot lot of nonfiction audiobooks.
Yeah, and if you listen to an audiobook, you don't get interrupted with an ad in the middle.
Yeah, hey, but this is not like this one. This
look,
is a good one.
I am so for Audible.com. I think if you ingest your literature through reading or through audio mediums, like, I am there for you.
Right,
like, I am so supportive. Like, keep reading. Like, keep authorship alive. Like, keep going. Go audible.com.
So you're saying that if this commercial's annoying you, then maybe audiobooks are your thing because there's no commercials.
Yeah, and if this commercial is annoying you, I think that's my fault. It's not audible.com's fault. Don't take it out on them.
Audible's got a great offer for our listeners with a 30-day trial membership. Go to audible.com/robpodcast. Rob and podcast, no other words in between. Rob podcast. Browse the unmatched selection of audio programs, download a title, and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audible.com/robpodcast or text Rob podcast to 500-500 to get started today. Audible includes unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazines, and newspaper publishers, including business information providers. That I am a longtime Audible subscriber. I've been listening, get a book a month for years. I recently listened to the audiobook. It's called When by the author Daniel Pink, and it is a book about timing. Much like John Cochran said that timing is very important in Survivor, it's very important in your day-to-day life, and he talks about the best time of day to structure certain activities in certain times of the day when you're your most productive, and it has really changed the way I structure my workday. If you're interested in that type of stuff, just one of the many great books available on Audible. So go ahead, give Audible a shot and get one audiobook for free with a 30-day trial membership. Go to audible.com/robpodcast or text the word robpodcast to 500-500 to get started today. All right, let's get back to the voicemails and let's check in with our good friend, Brent the Shower Man.
Brent,
he has a question for you about sea bass.
Hey, Robin Simone, Brent the Shower Man here. In this episode, we hear Sebastian refer to himself as a smiley piece of Laffy Taffy. We're only 3 episodes in, and he's already talked about candy twice in confessional. What do you think? Over under 5 candy confessionals for old Seabass this season.
Okay. Lots of people called in about questions about Seabass and the Laffy Taffy. Here he is.
Right now, I'm a happy, smiley, giggly piece of Laffy Taffy, I guess. Banana flavored.
Happy, smiley, giggly piece of Laffy Taffy, banana flavored. He talked about gummies last week, about how him and Chris were just like two guys in a candy store picking out gummies for each other.
We're both lobster in the Florida Keys, and we both go to the Bahamas and back, and we fish. It's like best friends in a candy shop, you know, picking out what kind of gummies each other wants.
Will Seabass talk about candy more or less than 5 times this season?
Exact. 5.
Exactly.
Calling my
5.
Shot. You know what? And I think Seabass is like one of those classic examples of somebody who I loved watching TV, but like not sure that I would get along with in person. Like, I think that he's like a beautiful person and quite a bit of eye candy himself. Like, not my personal taste,
whoa,
but for somebody. And I will even say like anybody who brings up candy, like there's just like a sweetness to their mm-hmm. personality that I have always envied. Like, that you can just, like, think about candy when you're lacking protein. Like, you know, you've tasted all these other things in life, obviously including lobster and sushi and teriyaki and all these other things, but you're thinking about candy because, like, in your mind, like, that is the be-all, end-all. Like, let me root for this guy. He's also on my draft.
Yes. Okay. This is interesting to me. So you feel like that there is an innocence that is associated with the quality of this craving for sugar, where that you feel like almost like Buddy the Elf in the classic holiday film Elf, where he wants to put syrup on everything. He is like this character that is very naive and innocent. All he wants, his only vice is sugar and sweets. You think this speaks to the fact that Sebastian is such a pure person that he, like, there's so much, there's like Nalia was somebody that Boston Rob used to tell me about how she would talk all about, like, when you're not into like the hard stuff, then you start to crave sugar. Is that, is this, are we connecting these two things together?
Yeah. Like, I think that there's like, at least I've never seen Elf, but it, in my mind, like, all the kids who I've ever babysat, like, they're sugar kids. And if, like, Seabass has that little bit of, like, a man-child quality about him, like celebrate that. Hold on to your youth and vigor for as long as possible, Seabass.
Yes. So, does it, is the opposite true? Like, Charles Manson, no sweet tooth?
Beef jerky. Can't
beef jerky.
The guy.
Okay. So, do you think that, that when you're more of a psychopath, you want something more savory?
Yes, but I actually, like, I also did a 23andMe DNA test, and I also found that I prefer savories to sweet, and,
okay.
I hate to bring that up, but I guess, like, I'm making that association now.
That's why you got so mad when the waitress brought you the tuna.
Look, like, I don't like tuna. Like, that's not crazy.
It's not savory. It's not savory.
Salmon is really good. Like, I craved a lot of salmon when I was out there.
And Lauren Rimmer couldn't bring you one.
I know. Devin was the only person who brought me a fish. And that's probably why I don't resent him, even though he voted me out.
Okay. Because he was the one person that brought you a fish.
He did. And okay. I gutted it.
Man, okay. And why did Patrick Baldwin have a crab in his pants?
Poor life choices. I don't know.
Okay. Here's a question for you. This is from Kieran. He wants to talk about Dominic telling people about the fake idol.
Hey, Cesar Nino, and my last season's winner pick, Simone. It's Kieran from Maryland. I want to discuss about Dominic's fake idol and now real legacy advantage. First of all, Dominic is basically like a Tony Blockos, Russell Hance, Joe Mena, and to some extent Ben, because of how hard he's playing and how aggressive his personality is. I still don't understand why he believed telling his new tri-mates about this fake idol would build trust. He just met them. Simone, my questions to you are, do you think Dominic telling his new tri-mates about his fake idol will convince them to trust him and not vote him out? And do you think that Dominic should now make a fake legacy advantage and show that to his tribe just to build trust? Plus, what did you think about James calling Dominic a Russell Hance?
Okay, a lot of questions there. So,
first of all, I will never say that James ever does a bad thing.
Ever. What about when he couldn't swim last week?
He's a presidential scholar. Like, okay. He's Korean-American immigrant.
What was the problem in the water last week? Why did Donathan have to go in and open the cage?
Donathan had a rest. Come on. Like, are we really going to, like,
I don't know. I'm not saying I could do it, but I'm just asking you to, that if you say James is without any fault, I'm asking you about his performance in the challenge last week.
Look, it was all on him. Like, I am a James apologist. Like, I will go to the death, like, defending that sweet child. Mm-hmm. Like, he is, like, the ideal version of what I would want in a son. Mm-hmm. So I can't even say anything. I can't even say anything bad about him. Like, I'm sorry that you almost drowned, sweetie.
Yes. Okay, well, I don't think anybody's even asking you to say anything bad about James. We want to know about Dominic and telling people about the fake idol. Did you think that was could you see the wisdom behind that? Or did you feel like that was exactly the wrong thing to do?
Kieran, I know that, like, he only just met these people, but then he only just met his tribe members nine mm-hmm. days ago. So, I think the thing that you need to think about, like, way more is all of that time that they spent together, like, sequestered in that, like, pre-game time when they're, like, basically sizing each other up and then coming up with the stereotypes that they have about people. And, you know, as a diversity advocate and somebody who used to traffic in stereotypes, I will say, like, unconscious bias is something that impacts everybody. So, for instance, like, Dominic said, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to destroy James because he is, like, such a loyal guy who plays by the book. You know, James conversely, like, sized up Dominic the way that he talks, the way that he looks, his build. And it's just like, all right, well, you kind of look like a Tony. Let's just go ahead and assume that you're that way. So I'm not sure that they're there's anything that you can do to ease the comfort that people have with your certain stereotype other than to deny or confirm it. Because if you're somebody who, say, is, like, distrustful of gay people because, like, you were raised in, like, a very conservative household, like, the only thing that you can do to change somebody's mind is to, like, be open and kind to them and show them who you really are. Not to confirm, like, oh, yeah, like, I'm wicked or I'm awful. I think when it comes to, you know, Dominic being able to win trust, like, he needs to fight, like, these, like, I guess, like, these biases against him and the way that he looks. Like, he looks so Long Island.
Yes. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, not that there's anything wrong with that.
So, okay, you bring up some really excellent points. I'd love to explore this with you because you bring up this idea of bias, but it is not necessarily prejudice where that you're not saying that anybody has anything against a certain type of people, but you might have a stereotype and you use the example of maybe James was not trusting of what Dominic was selling him and it turned out to be the correct read, but he said, okay, well, what is this? This guy seems like he's moving really quick. And I don't know. You said it seems like he's from the East Coast. I don't know. I don't know if we should work with this guy, but in the game of Survivor, you end up sort of you're stuck with these strangers and you have to make these very quick decisions in terms of who you're going to work with and who you're not going to work with almost immediately. If you're this group that goes to that first tribal council. So how do people work around this in the game?
You know, they say that, like, you build trust at tribal council because only after you demonstrate that you're really with somebody are you with them. Until then, like, it's all promises and lies. And I think that it's really tough to penetrate your own stereotype because I don't think that people are going in trying to be prejudiced against people. I think that race, just like gender, just like the way that you dress, just like the way that you move and the way that you talk, it's a proxy for more information. So if you're this guy who comes in and, you know, you talk like in this like blue collar Long Island kind of voice, and every other person that maybe like James has met who has had that construction worker vibe has like harassed his like sister or something like that, that doesn't bode well for Dominic. But that doesn't mean that Dominic is like that. It just means that like this is the type of person that you have a mental association with.
So do you feel like that does a Survivor player need to check everything at the door, or because you have to sometimes make a decision in those first 72 hours that you're in the game, can you rely on that shorthand and your instincts?
To some extent, I think that people get better at not relying on those stereotypes in the beginning. I think that Survivor has been notorious for always like voting out minority women in the beginning. You know, nobody likes to see that happen because it's a pattern. But I think it's indicative of a more basic thought pattern that people will, you know, make decisions based on the information that they have. And if you feel like you're a person that's really perceptive, like everybody goes into Survivor, they're just like, oh yeah, I'm so good at reading people. Like I'm the most perceptive person you've ever met. Like everybody who's ever met me in my life has loved me. Like you really need to be put to the test because Survivor is just one of those experiments where you are not going to associate with the people that you usually associate with you in your daily life.
Okay. I have a question that is on this subject. Let me play you this voicemail. This is from Amanda from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Simone and Rob. This is Amanda Fallon calling from Pennsylvania. Simone has been really vocal about women of color having a difficult time on Survivor, and we've really seen this recently where you would expect it to actually get better. It seems like one of the ways they're trying to combat this is by casting several on every season, but we saw Gonzalez go in the first episode, and now Desiree and Laurel haven't been featured much at all, even though they seem to have huge personalities and also be game savvy in the preseason. I know it's early in the season, but Simone is probably one of the best to discuss this with. Thanks and goodbye.
Yeah, this is something that, you know, we get asked about a lot and I tend to not get into it because, frankly, I mean, who needs me talking about this? Right. But this is something that is in your field of expertise. And I'm sure a lot of people would want you to weigh in on this. And I particularly would love to hear you weigh in on what can the show do if you think this is actually a factor?
you know, to the extent that Survivor is supposed to be a social experiment, Amanda, thank you for asking me this question and paying me that compliment. I don't know how well qualified I am, aside from the fact that, like, I've worked in the field. I feel like Survivor is a reflection of, like, everyday life. And, you know, when you see people having unconscious biases toward these women, like, that's not the fault of necessarily Survivor. I think that's the fault of, you know, society at large and what Survivor is asking you to do. Because I think what Survivor does, or what it asks you to do, is, like, strip down to what you basically think of people. And the fact of the matter is, like, people are not likely to trust people who they don't think is like them. So, you know, it's tough to blame Survivor for that. I know that, like, it also weighs on Survivor that this keeps happening to them. I don't think they're unaware of this fact. But diversity is something that needs to be advocated for, like, across the board, represented in media, seen in, like, all different types of businesses and all different types of professions. Mm-hmm. And until you really get to a point when, you know, you associate, like, people of color, like, women of color, with things like CEO, president, you know, representative, like, congresswoman, you know, actor, actress, like, you're not really going to be able to look at these other people and say, like, oh yeah, this is the type of model for a person like you. Mm-hmm. So until, like, there's a, like, even for, like, Dominic, until there's, like, a politician or a big figure or, like, somebody who is in media or in the public ethos that reminds people of a trustworthy version of a person like Dominic, mm-hmm. you're not going to see people immediately gravitate towards that.
Do you feel like the contestants themselves, whether you're a person of color, whether you're a construction worker, whatever, whether you're a fisher person, whatever you think that there might be a negative perception or any sort of a stereotype about you as a person, do you need to, should a player come into the game and try to really play against type in those first 3 days just to sort of say to the rest of the group, like, hey, if you're having any sort of misconceptions about me, not in those in so many words, but really try to make people as comfortable as possible with them so that they can get people can get to know the real version of them a lot quicker.
Yeah, I think so this is going to sound, like, kind of outlandish, but when I was a diversity advocate for the Asian American Bar in New York, like, we would one of the Asian stereotypes.
Tavern.
One of the Asian stereotypes is, like, oh, Asian people have no balls. Like, they don't have any courage. Like, they'll work hard, but they're not really leaders. They're not really seen as somebody who will, like, stick up and advocate. So one of the things that we would tell people who were, like, running meetings to do would be, like, you need to swear. Like, you need to, like, be a little bit flippant and a little bit disrespectful. Whoa. Because if you are seen as this person who's just going to fall in line, the moment that you swear, people are going to be like, oh yeah, like, maybe you're not this one thing. And because, like, you've subverted that stereotype, you can suddenly, mm-hmm. you know, lay claim to something that is, like, a little bit different. So, like, one of the things that I, not that it was successful for me, but one of the things that I did out on the island, and I kind of do in my regular life, is, like, I swear, like, that's the type mm-hmm. of environment that I'm used to. I remember that really, really pissed off Lauren, because, like, she really did not want to see any swears on TV.
Oh.
But, like, that's, like, something that I do in my life, and it's something that I think, like, actively combats what people think of as an Asian American mannerism. And I think that even if you don't, even if you confirm the stereotype, like you're, if you're like James and you're like a straight A student and you're like captain of the Harvard track team, like, you confirm that stereotype, you can at least be aware that that's how people are going to see you. Mm-hmm. Like, whether or not you confirm it or you deny it, you should be able to, like, be comfortable with yourself enough to say, like, look, this is who I am. And, like, if you're going to, like, see me this way or judge me this way, just, like, know who that's who I am. I think you should still try to connect with people. I don't think that you can really be fake, because people can sniff out a fake, like, right away.
Like James was able to do with the fake immunity idol.
I know. You go, baby.
It was James trying to swim badly on purpose so people would not think of him as much of an athlete.
I will say, like, it is really tough being the only, like, it's not tough for everybody, but for people who are, like, really conscious of this, like, it's tough to be a representative of your entire people when you're out there. Mm-hmm. And, like, to the extent that, you know, you confirm the stereotype, like, you know, James did for Harvard or I did for Columbia, like, I think that, like, it's tough because, like, you want to say, like, look, I'm Asian and I'm smart, but that's not
Oswego.
Like, I just can't stress, like even Gonzalez, like, I talked to her a little bit. She felt it because she felt that she was really representing the Latino community, like, in her performance. And it's just tough that when somebody sees themselves as a representative of that race, not that they should, but when somebody sees themselves as a representative of that race to then be eliminated right away, it's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she talked about that in, I think, in her interview with Josh. And so.
You have the best exit interviews. I don't know why anybody goes to anybody else.
Well, I think they go to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like that they just, you know, come in and sit down. I get an exclusive.
I know, but I, like, for anybody who's not a patron, like, I'm just gonna, like, throw this out there. Like, he totally didn't plan this ad, but, like, become a patron. Like, there is so much content and so much that you get from being part of the patron community that I just, like, love. My fiance is a part of this patron community, and had it not been for, like, the RHAP community, I probably wouldn't have applied. That and, like, David Wright from Millennials versus Gen X, because he is also such a sweetheart.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for that, Simone. Let me take a question. Let's go back to Dominic and his cursed legacy advantage. This is a question from Connor.
Ooh. Hi, Rob. It's Connor Booberry. First time caller, long time listener. Do you think that Dominic is now cursed by the legacy advantage? Or will he break it? Or will he spook the other players into voting for him? Thank you.
Okay.
I think I'm going to call it now. I think that Dominic is going to misuse it. I think he's going to misremember when, like, there are 13 people left, and then he's going to use it, but it's not going to do anything.
So you think he's going to play it at the wrong tribal council?
Like, if he does get to 7, which I think he'll probably be eliminated sometime between 13 to 7, like, if he gets to that point, he's going to use it at a time when people are no longer targeting him.
Well, that would be good, because people are saying it's a cursed legacy advantage so far. Everybody
spooky.
That's touched it. Yeah, it's so spooky that Sierra Dawn Thomas, fan favorite Sierra Dawn Thomas, may have cursed the legacy advantage. Jacob found it. He's gone. Morgan found it.
Jacob.
She's gone. And now Dominic has it. Do you think that is Dominic going to be the next one to go?
Not the next one. I think he's going to make the merge, and then go out soon after the merge.
Okay.
But I will say, like, this legacy advantage, like, it's kind of a, like, why wouldn't you just give somebody an idol? Like, this mm-hmm. is so restrictive. And I hope that it comes up at 13 instead of 7. I don't think that Dominic will be adventurous enough to use it then. I think he's just going to try to miscalculate. But if he can, like, that would be great TV, and I would love that.
Do you think that Dominic will make a fake legacy advantage?
No, he's not that creative now.
It's a fugazi.
No, he's not creative. What are you talking about, Simone? He's making up fake everything.
No, like, how can you show a piece of paper that is the tree mail knowing that Chris is going to come back and be like, oh yeah, like, I saw the real paper. It said specifically this. Like, let me talk about the specific words that are on the specific piece of paper. Like, we have nothing to do except for talk to each other all day. So let us, like, not talk about this now. Like, I don't know.
All right. Well, I want to talk about the Chris and Dominic dynamic. And there was a conversation that Chris had with James in the episode. And I actually want to go back to Brent the Shower Man, who's been on fire with the voicemails lately. Let me play this question that he had about Chris and James.
Hey, Rob and Simone. This is Brent the Shower Man. So Chris said something in this episode that I need to get your opinion on. When talking to the old Malolo about Dominic being shady, he says to James, you live in New York, you get it. He's a New Yorker. I've been on to him since day one. As people who have both spent time in New York, can you shed any light on this? Is he just being a hater, or is there something I don't know about New Yorkers? Thanks. Bye.
Okay, so when the Malolo people first came over, that Chris wanted to tell them about Dominic and his legacy advantage, mm-hmm. this was the conversation that we saw Chris having with James.
but you have to find a way. All right. And I guarantee you he's going to try and swoop everybody. Yeah. He will. He will. You live in New York. You get it.
You live in New York. You get it, James. So now Dominic is also from the New York area. So what is Chris saying here? That you live in New York. You get it. You know that people make fake immunity idols.
You know, since moving to LA, I think like the whole thing that New York people do here is like they talk about like, yeah, LA sucks compared to New York.
Right? Everybody just you live like in New York, you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get it. But I think there is like
a little bit of
New York, you get it.
Yeah, actually, I've been searching like around your house. There was a place called New York Bagels and I went to it and it was awful. It was so bad. Sorry, I didn't mean to like
fugazi.
Yeah.
But I think what he's basically saying is like you've been around this type of person before, and I will say that like the New York that James lives in.
Oh wait, hold on.
Was this as the one that Dominic lives in?
Hold on. Now I'm thinking about this. Now was Chris trying to bond with James on an anti-New Yorker bias of like, hey, you live in New York, you know how these guys are.
Look. New York is always going to be a compliment to people who live there. It's awful because I wish it weren't this way, but it's this way. And if anybody does want to like, you know, flatter me by saying like, oh, yeah, you're from New York. Like, I can't help it. Like,
Where's James from?
James is actually from L.A.
Okay, so he's from the West Coast. Chris is from Florida. It's like, hey, look, you have to put up with these New Yorkers like I do.
James belongs to the Eastern institution, like as much as like James would like to claim LA, like he is Phillips Academy, he is Harvard, he is consulting. Like, let's not pretend that he's like any more Los Angeles than like a bagel. Come on, like this is not him anymore.
Okay, so do you think was that the bond though? That these
that's the compliment.
Yes. Okay. Of like, hey, we're New York. We're transplanters into New York, and so we know how it is.
Is Chris from New York?
He lives in New York now. He's from Florida. He lives in Brooklyn. He's a model.
A male model. That's
yes.
right.
Yes. Yes. So I do think that that was a funny line between them. There was also another moment in the episode, which I thought was very interesting, where the people from the old Navidi tribe switched over to the Malolo tribe. And we got a bit of a focus on Bradley and how he was adjusting to the new camp. Brendan was not impressed with Bradley.
Bradley, specifically. He just cries about everything. It's unbelievable.
Yes. And so, now, Simone, that we know that you didn't always have the best time on the island. If we go back to the second week of the show last year, Akiva Whitaker would join me on the voicemails, and we played this clip of you talking.
And it feels good to be on Survivor. The challenges are physically exhausting. Living on a beach is not fun. Being outside is not fun. Cleaning a fish is not fun. Swimming is not fun. Okay, swimming's fun. But being sandy is not fun.
See, you didn't like the sand either, just like Bradley.
I just want to be back in Navidi. Well, you guys have like dirt. Uh-huh. You have sand everywhere.
Sand.
So dirty.
Dirty sand.
I get it because I used to live on that beach that Malolo
was
currently.
Too sandy, the sand on the beach?
The beach
was the
is
dirt too dirty
everywhere else except for Yawa Beach. It's awful. But I will say, like, I love complaining, but I think Bradley is like the worst complainer.
Because
he just does like at least say an interesting thing. At least like be honest with me.
What, you
like,
don't think that this was interesting? Listen to this.
I just want to be back in Navidi. Well, it's you guys different. Have like dirt. Uh-huh. Sand everywhere.
Dirty, sand, like Anakin from yes. Star Wars. He's just like, sand is
Josh
so
Wiggler
coarse,
tweeted
I hate
that.
Everything. Yes, that's probably where I saw it. I hate everything. But, you know, I just, like, don't say that to other people. Like, I said that, yeah, in a confessional, but I think there's just something about Bradley that rubs me the wrong way. I think it's probably
like the sand.
Yes, he is the human equivalent of like sand in your underpants.
I got a ton of sand in my drawers.
That he was totally Bradleying.
Oh my god. Like, sorry Bradley, I know that I'm so mean to you. Like, I'm mean to you on Twitter, and I am so mean to all of the people who like are just like, oh yeah, like he's a daddy. Like, no,
he's
like,
a daddy.
James is a daddy. Like, Bradley's not a daddy.
Bradley is a daddy?
No, he's not. That's my point. Like, you need to take off your shirt and look like a Brendan or a James.
But what is it? Wait,
in order to get
that
status.
Well, what does that mean, he's a daddy? Daddy is hot guy?
Daddy is a compliment.
Daddy's a compliment.
Daddy's a compliment.
That you could be a young man and a daddy?
Yeah, that's hot.
That's hot? That's hot? It's just that I'm looking around. Did anybody else know this? No, nobody else knew this here.
You're yelling at Steve for not knowing things, but he can't help it because he's much older than I am.
Yes. I mean, that I could see an older person being a daddy, but I mean, what's Bradley, like 25, 26?
Yeah, he's baby.
He's daddy.
Yeah.
Hey, you could be a baby and a daddy.
I don't get it.
What about Michael? Can Michael be a daddy?
Not now, but when he gets to be like 35, like
but
prime
Bradley
daddy
is 25.
Time. I'm sorry. Like, I appreciate anybody else's
right, we'll
thirst
ask
as
Nicole
much as my
about
own.
This after the show.
But I will say, Bradley, like, you're probably like a really nice guy. I just don't get it.
Dirt, sand everywhere.
Dirt,
dirty
sand everywhere.
Yeah, and like that doesn't automatically become better if you just say like, oh yeah, but I'm so happy to be here, which is what I think that he like tweeted out afterwards. He was just like, that was part of a longer conversation. I was just like, that is still part of the things that you said.
Yes.
And I'm a complainer. I get it. Like, let's forever complain about things. Like, you and I probably wouldn't complain about the same things because it doesn't seem like we live in the same world. But
well, now I'm worried, like, if Bradley comes in to do a podcast, he's like, dust and papers
dirt
everywhere.
Microphones. Bradley.
Okay, so now another survivor did complain as well that Bradley was not alone in his complaints of the Malolo camp.
There was exactly the beach that I complained about, so I know he's not alone. But I don't know. I don't relate to the guy.
So another survivor did complain about the Malolo camp, and that would be Kellen. And she said, though, that she was not going to voice her complaints. She had to come up with a more artful way to talk about the camp to the other players, and this is how she related this experience.
This is like when you're meeting a friend's new baby who they like think it's so cute and it's like the love of their life, but you're like, that baby is ugly.
The ugly baby. Kellen sees a lot of ugly babies.
Look, I love Kellen. I think Kellen is the most expressive person out there. Like, I wish that she would come narrate my life.
Yes. Okay.
Like I know exactly this feeling when you meet a squishy baby. Like, it is. Like, I love babies. Like, I do. I like every time like one of my friends gets pregnant, I am so happy for them. Like, I cannot stop touching their belly. But like you gotta be like a really, really good friend for me to come see your baby early on, because I am not like the, like, you know what? I take it back. Like, I love babies so much. Like, I don't care if you're an ugly baby. Like, I still want to hold that baby.
Okay.
Like,
so are you more of a Kellen or a Bradley when it comes to ugly babies? If you saw an ugly baby, would you look at it and say, oh, this baby is wrinkled and squishy and squished?
You know what?
Big head.
Look, I will do something completely the opposite of both of them. I will take that baby and I will protect it with my mean heart, and I will be like, you know what? You can shut the F up about the lovely, ugly baby. Like, I will take that lovely baby and I will just I will insult everybody else who ever comes near that baby.
Doesn't know how to use the bathroom.
I love
it's babies. Crying. Yeah. Okay. All right. So you'll be more of a Kellen.
You know, I think the thing that I really like about Kellen that I know that I don't have, like, I think Kellen seems to me like a Hufflepuff, and everybody who like is in my life who like I really try to keep around is like a Hufflepuff, like loyal, kind, clever, smart. Like, I want to surround myself with those people. I'm a Slytherin who wants to be a Hufflepuff. Like, I want that for myself. Like, I could see myself, like, hanging out with her, and I want her positivity rub off on me. I think Kellen is going places. I think that she is a really great winner pick, Rob. Yeah, like, and if you can get somebody like me to
hate Slytherin.
You can get somebody like me to like you. I think that it's really hard for me to like people like naturally in the first place. So I am so into Kellen right now.
Okay. All right.
Love James too.
All right. Let's take another voicemail. This one comes from one of our listeners. This is Morgan from Florida.
Hey, Rob, what's going on? This is Morgan from Orlando, and I have a question about Seabass. And you talked about Laffy, and you said that his favorite flavor of Laffy Taffy was banana. My question for you is, I know that you like...
Are you getting this? Can you hear this?
...frozen banana dessert, and I was wondering, you know, if you ever...
I don't know.
...a banana Laffy Taffy dessert this summer.
Something about banana Laffy Taffy
dessert. Yeah. I couldn't make out what she was saying.
Okay, so I don't know exactly what she's saying, but she's just like, he brought up his favorite flavor of Laffy Taffy as banana.
Yeah.
And she's just like... Tell me something about this banana Laffy Taffy dessert, and I bet it, like, her joke was so clever, but I just
I'm
didn't
sure
hear
it was. I'm sure I was dying to know which. All right, all
sorry,
right.
Morgan,
call back next week, okay?
Yes, or type to us.
Type to or email. Yeah, text. Text
yes.
is good. Couldn't hear it.
No, Morgan, static. If you want to eat that banana Laffy Taffy dessert, there's like this really great dessert that like Steve showed to me. It's called Yonanas. It's basically like frozen bananas and peanut butter all blended together. It's like the best thing I've ever had in my life.
Good.
And I've lost so much weight.
It's very good. It's strong dessert. Okay. Let's talk about your favorite Libby. And this is a question for us from Ben.
Hey, Rob, this is Ben Z from Brooklyn. And I'm just curious how we've gone through 2.5-3 episodes kind of without getting the Libby Andrea comparison. Is Libby new Andrea? She is stone cold, super cute, not super cute, super cute, but she's super cute. And she's got those two little pigtails that Andrea had in her baby season. And she's ready to pull the jugular, a game bot. Why are we not getting the comparison?
Thank you. That's Ben from Brooklyn.
You live in New York. You get it.
You get it. You get it. Okay. Is Libby new Andrea?
Okay. So I feel like a little bit bad because I have only ever seen Andrea on Game Changers. Like, I would love to go back and like watch another season. Like, when maybe like I'm stressed out from a work deadline or something like that and need to binge a whole bunch of Survivor. I'm sure I'll get to her seasons eventually. I see it. Like,
you see it.
Like, I see the whole, like, I don't get the personality similarities. Like, I think I've, like, met Andrea in person, like, and asked her for her bathroom advice before, and she didn't give it to me.
Yes. Can we tell that story?
No. I found out that I was getting cast for Survivor, and I had so much anxiety about never having gone camping before. And I got cast, like, in the dead of winter, so it's not like I could go camping for the first time. I saw Andrea at an RHAP event, and I was just like, queen. Like, I heard that you were on Survivor before. Like, I've never seen you on Survivor before, but, like, I heard that you were on and that you did relatively well. You must know how to use the bathroom. Like, please, can you enlighten me? And you know what? Had she enlightened me in that moment, my entire narrative via...
She didn't help you.
Heroes versus healers versus hustlers could have been completely different.
Yes.
I could have gone on to win the whole season.
Andrea was a game changer in that moment, specifically, too.
But she wasn't. And so, like, I had to go learn it for myself.
Well, some we learned in Game Changers. Sometimes the moves you don't make can also change
the game. I know. I really feel...
No. But the funniest part of that story... is then the like 2 days later, yeah. I'm watching the Andrea show on people.com, and Andrea is talking about, she said, you know, I was out the other night and this girl comes up to me and she says, hey, can you tell me how to go to the bathroom on Survivor? And it's just like, this is the funniest random thing that happens in New York.
You live in New York. You you get it.
You know, I
should. That really happened.
I should have, in that moment, been like, look, bitch, like, I'm about to be on Survivor. Like, I need advice because clearly I do not know a thing about this game. Like, can you just enlighten me? But I didn't want to violate the terms of my contract. And if I had only done that, I could have known. I could have known.
Like, so your advice to people is that if they are going to go on Survivor, they meet a Survivor, don't dance around like, hey, so if you were hypothetically going to be...
That's exactly what I did. I was just like, if you were in a situation for 39 days or up to 39 days in which you could absolutely like not use the bathroom and every living moment was like videotaped, like, could you please tell me how to do the thing that everybody needs to do? Because I can't get past that. And I really like, I had to read a book on it and the book was no help. And did I ever tell you about my experience like going on Survivor? Because that was awful. They are not supposed to follow you when you go off.
Yes.
Right. But I had gone to the pier in Fiji to be able to hold on to the pier, to be able to squat. And the producer followed me out there and he was like, come back, come back. But I had already been, I was in media res. And like he was saying, come back.
You were in media res. What is that?
In the middle of it.
Okay.
And
is that code? Is that slang? Is that like, is that like daddy? let's ask Nicole about media res also.
God, at this point, I hadn't gone in like 6.5 days. It was awful. It was one of the worst experiences of my life. And it was the only time I ever went the entire time that I was on Survivor. So like, if I ever did go back, which I don't think that they will bring me back because I am insane and not good at Survivor, somebody will still need to teach me.
What was the problem? You were someplace where you weren't supposed to be?
Yeah, I was by the pier, and they were just like, if a boat comes, it's going to kill you. And I was just like, I'm about to die of embarrassment anyway.
All right.
Oh, God.
It was awful.
But don't you think that Jeff Probst should have made, I mean, that they made such a big deal about Donathan overcoming his fear and getting into the water. Don't you think that Jeff should have made a big story out of you, that you had this big fear coming into the show? It was the one thing that you were so afraid of. And then you conquered your fear also.
I think that was my edit. They showed me gutting a fish, which, you know, I know how to do. Like, I'm Asian. Like, I've gutted fish before, and I treated it like it was, like, the first time I'd ever done that. Mm-hmm. As if, like, this is like, the gesture that mm-hmm. is representative of my growth.
Yes.
But, like, you can only do so much of a growth edit when your contestant gets booted out second. I'm sorry. Like, I wish I were as memorable as Billy Garcia or Jacob, like, but I'm not. And I wish that I had been there for people. I wish that I had, like, overcome that and then overcome the odds. I mean, it was a big moment for me regardless.
Yes. Okay. But you didn't flame out.
I wish that I had, like, at least one flame out moment that was, like, bigger than that so I could have at least be like, oh yes, like, I played my heart out there, like let me flame out, like, I will forever be entertained by myself, like, you're welcome, future Simone, for all the days that you're going to rewatch this episode.
Yeah, not all of us can be a Jacob Derwin.
I know. You go, Jacob. Like, you played your heart out.
Love,
like,
Jacob,
I will support
Derwin.
You in whatever you do in life. Like, keep writing that music, like, date
you
that
love
girl.
Jacob's music. What girl?
I can't talk about it on the podcast, yeah, Rob.
So Jacob has consulted you for Love Know-It-All's advice.
Look, Jacob is a sweetheart. Like, I support you, Jacob, in all of your endeavors. Like you, James, Laurel, Ivy League Lions, plus Jacob. Forever.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and let's bring in our resident music reviewer to the podcast to talk about Jacob Derwin's latest album. Bradley is there. It's too loud. It's scratchy. Too acoustic. Not fast enough. Sorry. Okay. Let's go ahead and bring in our next voicemailer. This is from John.
Hi, Rob and Simone. This is John in Chicago. In the scene where Michael and Brendan found one of James Clement's old idols, did either of you happen to notice that Michael proclaims, "This is the ghost," after finding it? Could it be that he thinks this season is called Ghost Idol? I had to rewind a few times to understand what he meant by that. and I'm still drawing a complete blank. Do either of you have any idea of what he may have been talking about? I'm afraid of losing sleep over this. Thanks.
I think this is John who tweeted at me and was just like, I forgot to say, like, long-time listener, first-time caller. Okay. So this is John, so shout-out to John. But Rob, like, weigh in first, please.
Okay, this is what Michael says when he finds the James Clement idol.
This is ghost.
I'm into it. You know how, like, people started saying, this is money? Like, and then, like, money became, like, oh, like, this is the good thing. Like, this is the thing of value. Like, I am into people turning, like, oh,
you like this ghost, is so ghost. The adjective, yes. This is ghost.
Yes, and it can kind of be, like, it can be, like, money, or it could be, like, oh.
Media res. Like,
this is so daddy. I don't know. I think, like, Michael, like, if you're out there, like, enlighten us, because, like, I don't know the inner workings of your mind, and I would, like, love to get to know you.
I want to hear this again.
This is a ghost?
Does he say this is the ghost?
This is a ghost.
Maybe he meant this is a ghast. Like, this is a ghast?
I don't think he uses that word.
This is so grand.
This is ghost is good.
Also, a ghast isn't that uncommon a word, is it?
I don't think Michael is saying this is a ghast.
I'm a ghast. Like, oh my god.
This is ghost.
I'm into it. Like, come on. He's a baby out there. We need to be nice to him because he is the youngest person out here. We were so much nicer to Will because he looked like a baby and nobody is babying him because he looks like he's 25 and hot, but really he's just 18 and a child and nobody should.
And he's afraid of ghosts.
Is he? I thought that was Kellen.
I don't know. Well, he's young.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I wouldn't be surprised.
He's only 1 year able to see an R-rated movie. They make those movies R-rated for a reason because they're scary.
You go, babe. I can't. I personally.
I mean, do you think he was scared when he found the idol?
He's scared of his bright future. You go on and you continue to do good things, Michael.
Yes. Okay. So you don't think he was scared?
I don't think he was scared. I think he was living his best life. Like, this is a wonderful thing for a young person to do, as long as, like, they don't get so wrapped up in it that it becomes their whole life. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that this is, like, one of the most fun things that you can do if you like the outside and, you know, you're okay with, like, cameras following you, because this is a moment of pure joy. Like, he is befuddled. He is bringing home an ugly baby. You're not befuddled when you bring home an ugly baby. You're disillusioned.
Yes, yes. But nature makes it that you can't see that your baby is ugly, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I think moms do see it, because I have this one friend who, like, she's a new mom. Like, she sent me pictures of her babies. Like, her name is Amy. And she's just like, oh, she's so cute now. She's just like, I can't believe that I ever thought that the thing that I brought home from the hospital was cute. And I was just like, no, Amy, your child is perfect. Like, everything about you is perfect.
Everything about your child is perfect.
Yes. Like, I'm not going to get caught in that trap. I love that child. I was there for the first day of that child's life.
Yes. Okay. They're trying to trick you into saying something negative about the ugly baby.
I mean, I tried to say something negative about a baby, but I couldn't.
You couldn't.
I can't even say anything negative about Michael.
Yes. Well, okay.
The baby
why?
Of the season.
Because he's a baby.
Of the season, yes.
A handsome baby.
Very handsome.
A handsome baby. Okay. This is a ghost. Okay. All right. Let me bring in this question. This is from Joe from Philly.
Hi, this is Joe from Philadelphia. Last season's cast weren't told about the fire making challenge, but this season was. But there's been no mention on air about it as of yet. My question is, do you think they are joining or not joining an alliance with the fire-making challenge in mind? Love to hear your thoughts. Keep up the great work.
Okay, Simone. Last season, of course, lots of controversy about the fire and the fire-making challenge in the game. Now, this season, allegedly, the players, they know about it and they can prepare for getting to that point. Do you think that is anybody making alliances at this early stage in the game with that in mind, in terms of whether they want to work with somebody who can or cannot make a fire?
I don't think so, because, like, as you know, as somebody who's played before, like, a lot of the times you're preoccupied, like, on the day, on the moment of, like, getting through the next vote. And I think that that is also the mentality that I think makes for bad television, when people are, like, too kind of, like, indolent to really think about, like, 5 steps down the line. If anybody is currently thinking about that, I commend them. But chances are that they're not going to get there, because only 2 people make fire at 4. Mm-hmm. And the way that it worked, at least, like, on Yawa Beach, is, like, we made the fire once, and then we tried to just keep going. And that was only for 6 days. Like, you'd have to ask somebody who was out there longer than me how that went. But I personally don't think that this is really going to be that big a deal, because if they do know people who are, like, really good at making fire, like, they were told about this, like, during their preseason. That's not enough time to, like, really, like, practice it before you go. Like, I had, like, a flint that they confiscated for me that they, like, didn't give back.
What do you mean they confiscated it? You tried to smuggle a flint into the game?
I wasn't smuggling. Like, what's wrong with bringing a flint to, you know, just so that you can practice making sparks?
So you brought a flint to Ponderosa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
You don't think that it would have been loud? Like, people wouldn't have attracted some attention?
It's not that loud.
Yeah, but you would have been like, "What? Where were you making this fire? Like, in your, like, at night?"
In my itty bitty tent, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we got to stay separate from each other anyway.
So you guys were all in your own separate tents, and you wanted to practice making fire in a tent at nighttime.
I forgot who was next to me, but they snored way loud enough to cover it up.
Yes, okay. So that's not allowed.
Like, I'm not good at Survivor, so, like, don't take my advice.
Could you tell in the early days of Survivor 35 that Devin had that fire-making prowess that Chrissy would ultimately pick him to make the fire at the Final Four?
No, he does not have fire-making prowess.
Yes.
I mean, like, we had the flint, and Patrick was the one that made it, and, like, I think it took him, like, 20 minutes from the time that we received the flint.
That is not an advantage.
Yeah. Poor babe. But it, like, I would say, like, it wasn't really that big of a consideration in my mind. It might have been a consideration in other people's, but mostly you're concerned about fire because, like, you're really hungry and you want to eat. And then you will just go with whoever makes it. And, you know, every beach is different. Every tribe is different. I'll tweet at them and I'll ask for you.
Okay. Then, in terms of the Survivor 35 endgame, have you talked about this? That who, if you were on the jury, who would you have voted for?
I have no idea who I would have voted for, because I didn't, I didn't get to meet Ben or Chrissy while I was out there. I only knew Ryan, and I admired his social game, knowing that he was able to, you know, connect with people, and I saw it happening, and I could give him credit for that, even though I personally am not really somebody who was able to do it. But who knows? It's hard to say, like, what is a bitter decision and what isn't.
Okay. I've got one more email to get to, but first let me take a moment and thank one of our other sponsors. Support for today's show comes from Microsoft Teams. Microsoft Teams is your hub for teamwork in Office 365. I guess whether you're a hero, a healer, or a hustler, Microsoft Teams is helping you be able to connect with your team even better.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Teamwork makes the dream work. Putting this podcast together, that there's I could always use more help connecting with my team with so much to look after. Wouldn't it be great if there was just one place to look instead of email and different social networks? That if you had just one place, Microsoft Teams is that single workspace where you can work, share, and connect with the people in your work life. Teams brings together chats, meetings, files, and apps all in one place. Take teamwork where you work with apps for mobile and for desktop. So whether you're sprinting towards that deadline or sharing your next big idea, just like Donathan tried to do, and then Stephanie said, I'm going to use that idea. Told it to the whole team. Teams can help you and your team achieve even more. So check out Microsoft Teams in Office 365. Visit office.com/teams to learn more. Okay, I've got one other voicemail for you. This one comes from one of our listeners. This is from Steve.
Hi, Rob. This is Steve calling from Burbank. I have a question for Simone Wynn. Simone, you were betrayed by your tribe, and Morgan was betrayed by hers. I was just wondering, does that betrayal feel anything like what it would be to find out that your fiancé is in love with one of the hosts of the Love Know-It-Alls? Is that a similar type of betrayal? Just wondering. Thanks.
Okay. This is a call. This you know this voice. This is a familiar voice to you.
Baby.
This was a phone call from Steve, your fiancé. He said he felt betrayed when he listened to the Love Know-It-Alls and heard something, a allegation from Dr. Mike on the Love Know-It-Alls. And here, let me play the clip for anybody who did not catch the Love Know-It-Alls. Let me go ahead and play this clip.
The most interesting podcast that I listened to here was the one with Simone on it, because I think, Stephen, that you and Simone had a thing.
Okay, don't get Stephen in trouble with Steve.
I've never even met Simone.
I think she dug you.
Oh wow.
Okay.
Never in my life have I ever dug somebody even remotely similar to Stephen Fishbeck. I'm sorry, like, I know that you are so good with your current fiance now, but never in my life would I ever. I'm so sorry, Fishbeck. And also, don't listen to Dr. Mike. He gets things wrong at least, like, 20% of the time.
I watch Dr. Mike play Survivor, that he doesn't always have his finger on the pulse of what's going on, right?
Dr. Mike, why? Why would you say that? Why would you do that? Like, I love every single one of your podcasts. Like, I was listening to that podcast when, you know, with Steve, when we were together. Like, never in my life have I ever, or will I ever, date somebody like Stephen Fishbeck.
What was your reaction when you heard it that Dr. Mike, for some reason, felt like that he thought that you had chemistry with Stephen Fishbeck?
I don't get it. Like, all I did was, like, nag him and tell him, like, oh.
Was that it? Was because you were insulting him, or you were hard on him, that Dr. Mike felt like that was, like, flirting?
Like, no, if I like you, I swear to God, I will tell you. Like, I will not nag you. Like, I'm not that type of person. I will just tell you that I think that you're really hot and that you should date. Like,
you are daddy.
Yes,
you
are.
You did not say that.
This is so ghost. I can't believe it.
Yes, this is good. You would just tell Steven.
This is ghost.
And then that would be it. So Dr. Mike, once again, Dr. Mike has it all wrong.
I'm sorry, Dr. Mike, but what would you do this to me?
Which was worse, when Dr. Mike played his immunity idol at the tribal council, or when he thought that you were saying that you liked Stephen Fishbeck?
You know, like, if you play something wrong in Survivor, like, you know, nobody is going to remember that except for you for the rest of your life. But if you're going to call me out on dating somebody who I would never, ever, ever date. And Dr. Mike, I know that you're listening to this and you're just like, methinks the lady doth protest too much. But it's just like, no, like, I'm like Pam in The Office when Jan accuses her of liking Michael. No, 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 never. Don't worry. That's not a thing.
All right. Are you ready to talk about some of the survivors on social media, Simone?
Yeah.
All right. So, Simone, before we get to the social media for this season, or as I like to call it, the social media res, we are going to quickly have a note about Ryan Elder, who has over the last, six, seven seasons, every week he has composed an original jingle to set up our social media segment. But after Survivor 35, maybe it was you getting voted out, he said, you know, I need a break from Survivor. So he is taking a break from Survivor. So we are going to be bringing back some of the jingles from Ghost Island, some of your favorites. And then we will also allow you guys, in the spirit of the wand off, to be able to make your own Survivor tweets jingle. We're going to get the instrumental track out there for you guys to make your own version of what you're about to hear right now.
Tweets, baby, tweets, Survivor tweets. They're better than Baylor balancing things with her feet.
What's this from Ghost Island? Oh, back in season 29, that there was a challenge where Baylor Wilson had to do the challenge with her feet, and then she won immunity.
This is Ghost.
Yes, the ghost.
This is Ghost.
The ghost is here. Okay. All right. Here are some of the tweets from the Survivor alumni. Mm-hmm. And so Stephanie Gonzalez, still watching the show, still tweeting, at Gonzo Stephology. Well, not the best.
No, I will support Stephanie and all that she does. She is another one of my babies from this season.
Yes, okay. She is baby.
Yeah, she's baby.
Okay.
And James is daddy.
She writes, hashtag don't trust the cute blonde. You want to trust her, .. Just look at her.
Sad.
Yeah. Didn't love Libby. Don't trust Libby, she's saying.
Sad.
Jacob Derwin, at Jacob Derwin, says, okay, but are we going to talk about Fiji Ninja Warrior last night? He thought that challenge, a lot of people said that, like American Ninja Warrior.
Any challenge that gets people to take off their shirt, like, that's the right
That's
challenge
most
for
challenges,
me.
Though.
I know, like, I'm still watching. Like, I was on last season. I was voted out early. One would think I would be bitter, but I do dig that sweet, sweet eye candy.
Okay. All right. Just like Sebastian.
Yes.
Yes.
Just like Sebastian.
Yes. Okay.
Laffy Taffy all day.
Right now, I'm a happy, smiley, giggly piece of Laffy Taffy, I guess. Banana flavored.
Banana flavored. I mean, not man flavored. Okay, that's eye candy.
Sometimes.
Yes. Okay. This is from Kellen at KS Becto. KS Becto. That's another, you know, she's doing so good, so far so good in Survivor, but that's a very so-so Twitter handle. KS Becto.
Why do you when you insult these children, it makes me feel the need to, like, come to their defense. Like, I love this girl. Like, I don't think I've ever met her in life except for maybe, like, once. And not even sure that it was her that I met, but she is great.
Hold on. I will just say about KS Becto that, Bradley, do you have my back? Oh, where's the L and the D? Doesn't make sense. Why is it middle? What's the S for? Yeah, see? It doesn't. I hear you, Bradley, on that. Okay. So she wrote, oh, hey, girlfriend, in parentheses, who has a baby? Of course, I wasn't talking about your baby, a text I sent 47 times tonight.
I'm really surprised that she has 47 friends.
Yeah, that have babies.
Yeah, like, I don't even think I've met 47 people.
Yeah, she's a hashtag, some newborns just aren't cute. Am I right?
You are not right. They are all precious.
Okay. Stephanie Johnson at Run It Mom. She said, spoiler alert, Malolo Beach has dirt and sand like everywhere. She didn't like that Bradley just came in and insulted her beach like that.
Yeah, how
hashtag
dare you?
Hashtag the horror. Mm-hmm. Hashtag Survivor ain't fun. Going on a cruise is fun. She's quoting Keith Nail.
Though I have heard about cruises, I don't actually think that they're that fun.
Cruises are not that fun? Why? What's wrong with cruises?
I get motion sickness, and then you're also trapped in a boat.
There's motion. You're on a boat.
I'm like, no, but you're trapped. It's like being on Survivor, but on water. Oh, I don't know.
Yes.
Let's move on to the next.
So being on a boat is like Survivor on water.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah. What boat are you going on?
I don't go on any because they're awful.
They're awful?
I didn't even like the boat that I was marooned on.
Yeah, they're okay. They're okay.
Like, I like the ground. Like, I like the city.
Okay.
Like,
not
like,
a boat.
What is, like,
not,
what?
Not a boat. Okay.
I like watching Survivor.
Yes. Okay. James Lim. James Lim 03171. Is it his birthday?
I don't know. I'll find out his birthday later so
it's
I can send
up.
Him a
That's
card.
Coming up. Maybe he loves St. Patrick's Day. So James says, Survivor Math 101, with a 10-8 minority, the odds that Malolo got a 5-4 minorities on both new tribes was 40%. Hashtag Survivor. Hashtag tough luck.
I am so proud of you using math in your everyday life. Like, there were so many people and so many students who, when we were young, complained that you would never use algebra, that you would never use math.
You would never use it.
I am so here for it. You are spreading the many benefits of education, and I entrust you to represent our many limited, like, Survivor perspectives out there.
Okay. And I will say that...
Proud of you, baby.
Not that anybody was doubting James Lim, but our own Will from America went back and fact-checked James's math, and what do you think?
Proud of you, Will from America, as well. I'm always pissed off when you don't make it into the final five for the wand-off, but
yes.
You also have to, like, take it to... I think it sounds right to me. And I think there's also like a placement of the baskets. Like they switch it to like there's like a gendered buff selection. So I think it really depends which variables you're considering. So go on, Will, tell me.
Yes.
Enlighten me.
He did a lot of work and he said that the math was right. 39.372% chance, according to Will from America.
Though I will say, like, not all Asians are good at math. Like, I know James isn't trying to confirm the stereotype, but like, you know, like I'm very happy that he was correct, and I will celebrate his accomplishments forever.
Yes. Okay. Libby Vincek. Is that how we say it? Vincek?
Who?
Libby.
Oh, yeah.
Libby. Her. She tweeted out at I am the Libster. I like that. It's very real. I am the Libster. Okay. The Libster. She tweeted, I'll play dumb, but I won't be dumb about it.
I feel like that's like a 90s like song lyric. Or something like that. I mean, like, don't mean to hate on this girl either. I know that she's also probably a nice person.
Mm-hmm. Malcolm Freeberg, at Malcolm WHW, he told a story on Twitter about how there was a man at the next table who asked him, are you Joe from Survivor? And he said, well, actually, yes. Yes, I am. And
I
then
saw this.
He spent the next hour telling every filthy X-rated joke he knew.
Oh, my God. You go, Malcolm. Like, you do you.
Classic Malk. Yes. So this guy is like, boy, this Joe Anglem, Joey Amazing, real potty mouth.
You know, actually, I'm not, because I'm remembering now I had my identity stolen and that was awful.
Yes. Was it by Malcolm?
No, maybe. I don't know. But actually, no, I didn't. This is actually a very hilarious prank. I'm sure that Joe like got a lot of kicks out of it. I'm super into like the levity of this whole situation. And I found out the other day that Malcolm went to Dartmouth. Is that correct?
Yes.
You go. Ivy League Lions.
Okay.
Though I did talk to my fiance, Steve, and he was just like, you can't be into that as a thing. That's just like being into people who are like really successful. And I was just like, oh, yeah, that's true. They're not really the underdog anymore.
Not anymore. Okay. Jonas at Sushi Surfer said, who else thought at James Lim says? Now, that's a different James, right? That we had James Lim 0317.
I think he's actually in the middle of a rebrand. So I used
he's rebranding.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a management. So, like, I think he used to be like, James something something, like some number combination.
Oh, he got rid of the numbers after I said that the numbers was no good.
I think now he, on Instagram,
the numbers are bad.
James Lim Sees.
Okay. Let me see.
I could be wrong.
James. Okay, so now he's James Lim Says. James Lim Says is the new and improved James Lim Instagram account. Mm-hmm. Jonas said, I thought that James Lim Says gave off a strong at Leaf Manson 1 vibes last week. It sounds like he goes in a different direction this week, ready for Survivor. What's Jonas talking about?
Who is what? Like, I don't know who that
Leaf
is.
Leaf Manson vibes.
Who? Is he a past Survivor?
Yes, Survivor
what
1
season?
World.
No, I watched that season. Who? What?
That he was the little person in Survivor 1 World.
Oh, that person. I don't see any similarities.
I don't know. I don't know what Jonas is talking about.
But you know what? Jonas sees what he sees.
Okay. Randy Bailey, 1720. So many good compliments from Randy Bailey on the podcast, the voicemail show last week.
Oh, yeah. Like, I had trouble, like figuring out who exactly that was from Heroes versus Villains. But then like Rob, my fiance, Steve, he was just like, Rob and Randy like had a falling out. They had a thing. And,
yes,
and
but we patched things up.
And I was just like, oh my God, go Rob. Like, you are also baby in this situation. Like, you go baby.
Mm-hmm. Like, yes.
Achieving your podcast dreams.
Yes.
You probably don't need me to root you on, but whatever.
We did it. He said, I don't believe it, but the entire cast has forgotten that at Donathan Hurley is still in the game. I'm so happy my RHAP voicemail prediction was not correct. Now, Donathan, just sit back, do nothing, and watch the carnage. He could go all the way. Randy's predicted that Donathan was going to be out this week.
There's no way that Donathan gets to the final three. Like, I think that Donathan is like probably the loveliest light out there that you have ever seen in a person. He has such joy and such spirit, and usually like I find any reason not to dislike or not to like anybody. And I feel like Donathan, like every time he like opens his mouth or tweets something or expresses himself in any way is nothing but positivity. Like, that's my Hufflepuff.
Yes. He has a light about him. Okay.
He does.
And then Shane Powers at Shane Powers tweeted on Wednesday night, working on my wand off at Rob Cisternino. What?
Wanda. Look, I am a huge fan of the wand off, and you know how like you and Nicole were doing that segment about like, oh, does this person like the wand off? Do they? There is not a single survivor who hears a song about themselves and does not like it unless it's negative. I think the wand off is like spectacular, and I really can't say enough good things about it. Like,
okay.
Wiggle room forever.
Yes. Okay. So we appreciate the shout out there in terms of the wand off. That's very much appreciated.
And it's Josh Wiggler's birthday today. So
yes. Yes. Okay. And then I don't know the best way to do this, but let me give out the, and speaking of the wand off, let me give out, if somebody wants to record their own Survivor Tweets jingle to appear on the voicemail podcast later this season, here is the instrumental version of the Survivor Tweets jingle. Okay, that's out in the universe. Survivor at robhasawebsite.com. Do with that what you will, crazy people. Okay?
Do it. I support you. I support every single one of you.
Okay.
Jacob Derwin, please do something for it.
But is Jacob Derwin going to continue? I don't know if he listens to these podcasts.
He listens.
He does?
Well, actually, he's taking a bit of a Survivor break, but, you know, I told him that if he does not judge the final wand off, that there is no justice in this world.
then there could be no justice in the world. Okay. All right. Simone, let's talk about everything we learned today. We covered so much ground. Mm-hmm. Did you have fun?
I had so much fun. It's always such a joy being here and being able to play with your kids, but then also go home to no kids.
Yes. That's the best of both worlds.
Yes. And your babies? Not ugly.
Okay. Really appreciate you saying that. Of course, we need a hashtag for today. What do you think about the hashtag? We got some options.
I don't know. I've never been good at the social meds. Like, I have to remind myself to go on because, like, it's something that, like, I haven't integrated as well as, like, some of my other cast members.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Give me the options and I'll select one.
Okay. That we have hashtag social media res.
Okay.
It's okay. We have a hashtag this is ghost.
I like that one.
You like that? Okay.
8 out of 10.
Hashtag this is ghost. 8 out of 10.
This is ghost.
Okay.
8 out of 10.
All right. There we go. All right, Simone, what's next for you?
What's next? I think I'm going to go home and eat some donuts with my honey.
You're going to go home and eat donuts? What kind of donuts?
I live right by Donut Hut, so I'm going to have a blueberry cake donut.
A blueberry cake donut. How often do you eat blueberry cake donuts? Is that a daily occurrence?
About once a month, because I'm trying to fit into my wedding dress.
Okay, once a month. You're getting married. When is the wedding date?
So we were thinking 11/10, but we're thinking 2/2 now.
Yes, okay.
I don't think I've even told any of my Survivor friends about that yet, but... Now it's out there in the universe.
Okay. When is it?
2/2.
2/2/2022?
No, that's too far. That's too many twos. that's too many twos. That's not auspicious.
Is that date booked yet?
That's not an auspicious number. Like, you need to, like, check the numerology.
What
or
do
you
mean?
Don't have to.
What do you mean an auspicious number? What does that mean?
So, in a lot of Eastern cultures, like, there are people who, like, they look at a number chart and they tell you like what's considered like a fortunate number, like
yes.
What's a good time to try to conceive, like
okay.
when you do this, when you do that. And I was raised half Catholic, half Buddhist, so I still kind of retain both sides of my culture.
So 2/2/2/2/19, that's
yes.
a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. What about 2/2/22?
Too many twos. I just don't like the cadence of that.
What about,
I don't even like it enough to like look it up.
69/18.
What?
No, that's a bad one. Okay. All right.
It's a calendar thing.
That's a calendar thing. Okay.
And then it's also a lunar cycle thing.
Okay. All right. So we will find out, hopefully, many years in the future that it was a correct prediction.
I hope so.
Yes. Okay.
You never know, but I hope so.
We hope so. We know so. Okay.
Yeah. And he's a patron, so if anybody wants to join the patron group and talk to Steve, he's on there.
Hey, I said this last week. If you're the type of person that's still listening at this point in the show, then becoming a Robin's Podcast patron might be something that you would be interested in. And I had a thought in terms of that. I want, you know, it's sometimes like I try to come up with new ways to talk about Patreon. Don't try not to overdo it for you guys. But why patron? That's W-H-Y patron at robinswebsite.com. And you could email me any sort of, think of this like an improv show. If you want to hear, well, you stuck your tongue out, why?
I'm not an improv person.
Well, yeah, I'm not asking you. You don't have to do anything. I'm saying
I will support anybody who wants to do it because I love these patrons.
Right. If you're saying like, I'd like to hear Rudy talk about why I should be part of the community. And then it'd be like, you know, there's people there, but I don't know if I would ever want to see any of them ever again the rest of my life. It wouldn't be for Rudy. It wouldn't be for Rudy being a Robin's Podcast patron. But if you have some thoughts of any creative ways that you would like to hear me talk about, robinswebsite.com/patron. This is the place for us to get crazy. OK.
And I will say that the Rob Has a Podcast off topic group is lit.
Lit. OK. Lots of crazy stuff going on there. Sometimes it's too lit. Sometimes I need to come in with the fire extinguisher.
Yeah, if you're still listening, this is for you.
Like, all right, everybody. Okay. Take a cold shower, like Nicole would say. That's right. That's what she would say to me.
That's what she says to you. Oh. 5 for 5, one of the best podcasts that I've listened to. It's just basically like lifestyle podcast
lifestyle.
At this point.
Right. Not anything, not no heavy stuff there.
And, yeah. And if you're the type of person who listens not just for like television podcasts, but like for podcasts where you get to see like a really lovely couple like come together and like talk about
their
problems.
Thank you so much, Simone.
Like I think it's a joy to listen.
I appreciate that. Okay. All right. Thank you guys so much for coming in. If we want to follow Simone on social media, what is it?
@ Simone T. Wynn on Twitter and then Simone.Wynn on Instagram. Though I'm trying to post more, I will post a picture of this day that I had with Rob. It was a beautiful day.
Okay, good. Can't wait for that. Of course, Wiggle Room coming on Monday, so be on the lookout for that. We'll get into so much with the wand off, and boy, we have been going through the entries over the weekend, and
it's a lot.
Okay, so plus, Josh Wiggler and I will talk about Survivor, just like everybody loves. Nothing polarizing about that. Okay. All right, everybody, have a great weekend and enjoy the start to your work week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye, everybody.